Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Coast to Coast Combat Hour, brought to you by AllAccessMMA.com. I'm your host, Matthew Hawkins, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Ed Carbajal. It's UFC Fight Week, but Ed also has an interview coming up at the end of the show. Ed, tell the fans what you got going on here.
Yeah, lots going on this week. I mean, we got PFL, we got Bellator, Phoenix Tournament with Invicta FC on Access TV. That's June 11th, 8 p.m. Friday, Access TV and YouTube if you don't have Access TV. I spoke with one of the competitors, Jillian DeCourcy. You can look for that interview. There'll be a written piece over at MyMMAnews.com, as well as the audio portion of that interview for our audio listeners on this podcast at the end of our portion of the, you know, us doing our picks for the freaking buttload of fights coming up starting from Thursday through the weekend. So just make sure you stay tuned for that. For our audio listeners.
Yeah, and just for those that aren't super familiar with Invicta, it is an 8-woman one-night tournament, so there's a little bit of old-school feel, and as Ed mentioned, props to Invicta for putting their product on YouTube for everybody to view, no matter what cable or streaming service you may have. So that's Invicta this Friday night, and best of luck to Jillian. So Thursday basically kicks the week off. We don't have picks for this event, but we've mentioned it in the past, and we figure we need to throw it out now. PFL returns again for week 4 of their regular season, headlined by Clarissa Shields in her MMA debut. I guess, is she considered the pound-for-pound best women's boxer right now? Is that pretty common knowledge?
Yeah, she faces Brittany Elkin. And she's also facing Brittany Elkin's been fought in PFL before. I think she was I forget who's I gotta close this window. Sorry for that noise. Unfortunately that's where my freaking card was. But yeah, she's facing Brittany Elkin in Shields MMA debut. But Elkin is a seasoned grappler, brown belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, and it's definitely a striker versus grappler. But a lot is being made of, you know, like the matchup. And of course you have all these other guys there. There's guys that lost, you know, like Anthony Pettis lost in his debut. So this is his last chance to get back and advance into the postseason playoffs. And same for Lance Palmer, who was the 2018-2019 champ. So there's a lot on the line. So we have events from PFL this Thursday, next Thursday, and then on the 25th, and that finishes out the season. I don't know if you guys saw Fabricio Werdum was removed from PFL 6, which is the one that was supposed to be at the end of the month. So I don't know how they're going to handle that. I had to close the window. That's where all that noise is coming from. But I'm sure you'll find news about that because that news broke today. But yeah, PFL is definitely going to kick your weekend off right if you're a fight fan as we move into Friday, which is it's going to be a dual screen night for me. With Bellator 260 and the Phoenix tournament.
Yeah, no doubt. Friday, excuse me, I'll be in Phoenix. So I will do my best to catch those fights as I prepare for the UFC the next night. But yeah, the thing about this PFL card is for the first time ever, you got guys, you know, you got two-time champion Lance Palmer, who's on the you know, hanging by a thread right now. He lost to Bubba Jenkins in his last fight. And then you got big free agent signing Anthony Pettis, who also lost his fight. So it'll be interesting to see how this unfolds. But, you know, guys like Clay Collard and Marcin's Held, some of these guys who have bounced around a little bit and now seem to be getting in their groove a little bit, might be kind of the way for the new, for, you know, for the rest of the season. So maybe we'll get some new blood in the Final Four, which might not be best for PFL's viewing numbers, especially if Pettis isn't around, but certainly exciting for us fight fans who are interested in seeing maybe some of these guys land that $1 million check.
I think the PFL, the thing with the PFL, I mean, I feel, and I know Peter Murray, every time he addresses the media this week, you know, because I've been connecting to everything, like tomorrow I'll be connecting to Bellator's media day via Zoom. I did today's PFL stuff via Zoom. And the thing is, Peter Murray, every time, he always seems to have to remind fans that are, because especially there's a lot of new, you know, with the names they're getting, there's a lot of new eyeballs coming in, and he has to, you know, remind fans how the PFL works. different from every other MMA organization. You know, you win, you advance, you lose, you go home. And now we're in the loser go home part. So if Anthony Pettis doesn't win, pick up any points, you know, that's going to be it's a lot of people, like you said, people are going to think like it's not, you know, ideal, but it also is just more, in my opinion, it's a testament to what the PFL stands for. As far as like when you come there, it's either doesn't matter how popular you are. What you do is all that matters. And that's why trash talking and rankings and all that stuff matters at the end of the day. It's, you know, who's winning, who picks up the W's. You know, that's something like, not for nothing, if there was a PFL back in Fedor's prime, he would have been like a multi-time, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? He would have been like a multi-year champion and a couple of million dollars richer. But, I mean, I'm just using that example because he had a very long, you know, a very long period where he didn't lose any fights. And I mean, that was like Lance Palmer in 2018, 2019. So he's another one that I'm actually really going to keep an eye on for Thursday, because, you know, with that, if he doesn't pick up any points, I mean, right now in their standings, when you're looking at the standings, I have him up here. Let me just really quick. Lance Palmer, Anthony Pettis is number 9 out of 10. So he has 0 points. You need to be in the top 4 to advance to the playoff in August. So right now he's not there. That's going to change in the next 3 weeks, whoever advances. But, you know, it's just crazy to think that all these names that you know, folks that are like right now, like Antonio Carlos Jr. is number 2 in the light heavyweights. And, you know, this whole Fabricio Werdum, it looks like they just removed him. Because of removal. So that's you know, that's disappointing. But you know, Brandon Laufen and Bubba Jenkins they're number 1 and number 2. And he said at the first post fight press conference, Jenkins was like, it's probably going to be me and Laufen in the finals on New Year's Eve. And I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if that's the case, but that's Lance Palmer's division, and he's ranked number 6 in their standings right now, which it means, right, if he doesn't win and pick up any points, he's probably not, you know, going to pick up another $1 million, which would be crazy, I think.
Yeah, and I mean, not to sound disrespectful, but it's going to sound that way. the hardest part for Palmer is going to be he almost needs a finish.
Mm. Yeah.
Because his
first round finish, yes. Yeah,
he almost needs a first round finish. Maybe a second round finish will get him in, but he's got to get a finish. I don't even think a decision win, barring everything, the whole script flipping and the guys who won, you know, last week all getting finished. I feel like that's going to be his biggest challenge. That also kind of, that falls for Pettis too. Not that Pettis is not somebody who's constantly got finishes, but he's going to have the pressure on him to jump from 9 to 4. He's not going to be able just to you know, jog and jab his way to a decision win. So should be exciting. That's Thursday night. Prelims are on ESPN Plus. Main card is on ESPN 2. So that should be exciting. That's Thursday night. That brings us to then Friday night, where we have the previously mentioned Invicta card, but we also have the
Bellator 260.
Bellator 260, and perhaps headlined by the number 1 fighter in Bellator right now, at least arguably for sure. But the big 3 fights that night that catch our eye. We'll start off with Aaron Pico makes his return to the cage. He was originally scheduled to fight a few weeks back. He'll fight Aiden Lee. Pico comes in at 7-3, Aiden Lee 9-4. We've talked about Pico extensively, probably more about Pico than any other 7-3 fighter on the planet. I feel like it's just going to continue to get better for him. Those 3 losses are obviously, 2 of them are to killers. The first one was to a veteran that, in Pico's debut. I gotta go Pico, KO, knockout, left hook, body shot, basically however he wants to do it. Although he has tuned his wrestling a lot lately, so we'll see how that unfolds. But, I think we're going to see some violent, Aaron Pico action on Friday night.
Yeah, I'm always worried when Pico fights, just because the 7-3 record, you know, it's like he'll do these. He's already got a highlight reel of knockouts that Bellator has been circulating on their social channels, but it's also been, you know, like his debut, for example, he got submitted right, you know, in the first round. I mean, I know he switched camps and stuff, and he's been showing improvement. I mean, the kid's young, is a powerhouse, but I don't know if he's won enough fights in a row for me to think he's gotten out of that green area. So I'm gonna stay away from this one. Again, I hope he wins. Love to watch him fight. I think he's a great fighter. Definitely probably hits harder. He's probably the hardest hitting featherweight in Bellator, you know, because of the body shots he's dropped people with. Looks like, I mean, I feel them at home. So yeah, he's
digging out gut.
Yeah. Yeah. So, it's definitely going to be one of those ones that, win or lose, one thing about Pico, his fights are all entertaining. So I'm going to stay away from picking that one though.
That brings us to the co-main event in daily weight, the 175, the newly formed, seems like 175-pound weight class that Bellator is using for Paul Daly. Paul Daly faces Jason Jackson, though, who has been on an absolute tear. Taking everybody out, really. Neiman Gracie, Benson Henderson, Jordan Mayne, Kunimoto. His only loss in recent memory is a split decision loss to Ed Ruth, which I thought he won. Paul Daly is coming off of another crazy fight, absolutely fight of the year candidate, where he was heavily wounded and then fought back and finished off Homasi in his last fight at Bellator 257. Whew, man, this sucks because I'm going to pick against one of my favorites. I love Paul Daly. He's literally probably my favorite 170-pound fighter in the history of MMA. But I just feel like Jason Jackson is right now kind of on another level. And for me, he came out of nowhere. Obviously, he's been cleaning house here in Bellator. I didn't know anything about him before his Bellator fights. I don't know. I feel like that Jackson will probably do some kind of, you know, he'll do a lot of holding here, probably bring Daly down. If he dances around with Daly, then he's dancing with the devil, literally. Mm-hmm. But I got to pick Jackson. I think he actually will probably finish this fight mid-second, early third round. I hate to say that. That's almost as bad as me picking against Fedor, but I got to be as honest as I can, and I got to pick Jason Jackson to win this fight, especially coming off his win over Gracie. To me, that's a little bit of another level of a win.
Yeah, no, I'm going to go with Daly, actually, just because he seems like he's got a renewed vigor. I mean, he knows he's on the tail end of his career, and it looks like he doesn't want to walk away. You know, he doesn't want to go out on his shield. He'd rather go out with his hands raised. So I'm gonna pick Daly just because, like I said, I feel like he's like you said, the Daly weight is you know, it's if they're hooking him up to go out with you know, comfortable weight so it doesn't affect him too badly, then I think we're seeing it in his recent performances, and I think we'll see that I think he may surprise us against Jackson. I don't know what the odds are on that fight, but I mean, I would imagine Jackson is a favorite there just because of the, but I think those numbers, if you look at the numbers on the screen here, that experience, that 43, I mean, even the 43-17, I mean, that's, you know, that's Jason Jackson doesn't even have as many total. It's like a fraction of Daly's experience. And I think that counts for a lot, despite the height advantage and what have you. So on the youth advantage, but, I'm going to go fanboy and stick with Daly.
Yeah, no, I hope you're right. I hope I'm wrong, and I hope that's the last time I ever pick against Paul Daly, but I did. So I will have to live with how that unfolds. Either way, I see that being a great fight, though. It's not going to be one to miss. There's going to be excitement in that fight no matter who.
Oh, yeah. It's
up on top.
Busy night for sure.
Yeah, and then that brings us to the main event, fight I've been looking forward to for personally for over a year now. I know it just got announced a couple months back, but had my eye on Amosov. He comes in now at 25-0, and he faces, I would say number two behind Pitbull, maybe three behind Pitbull and McKee, number three pound for pound, best fighter in Bellator, Douglas Lima, the welterweight champion of the world for Bellator MMA. Mm-hmm. Oh man, again, this is a tough fight. Lima ranks real high in my rankings of dudes that I love to watch fight. But I think I'm actually going to pick the upset here. I don't know what the odds are. I imagine Lima's favored. Tapology doesn't have the odds for Bellator right now listed. But I feel like Amosov, if he's able to get this fight to the ground, that's where Lima's weakness is. I feel like we kind of saw that with Rory McDonald, even though Lima beat the hell out of his legs in their first fight. Rory was able to get the fight down to the ground and work his stuff. Now, obviously, Lima has gotten better since that point, as witnessed by the destruction of Rory McDonald in his next fight. But there's something about being 25-0. He's either 25-0 on a built-up record, but we've seen what he's done in Bellator, so I got to throw that out the door. I'm going to go with Amosov by it's a 5-round fight.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fight that changes things too. 3-round fight. Yeah. I'm taking Amosov by unanimous decision. I'm going to stick with it. I'm going to say Amosov wins by a decision. I don't think the last couple rounds will be exciting if he wins. I think it'll be him grabbing and holding and trying to hold on. I'd love to see Lima do his highlight thing, but I'm going to go with Amosov by decision win in a very close, grinded out style of fight.
Yeah, I'm sticking with Lima just because, you know, he's had enough time to kind of hone his skills and rest. I think time off counts a lot for especially guys like him that are champions. I feel like he can hurt him. He's definitely got a bit of a reach. It's only he's 6-1 versus 6. So he probably has a bit of a height and reach advantage. Somehow I feel like he could kill like leg kicks will be a factor to the point that it's going to take away Amosov's, you know, pressure, mobility, footwork, anything he wants to do with as far as grappling goes. I wouldn't be surprised if a TKO comes in round 3-4, just because, like you said, I mean, it's a 5-round fight, and I think Lima's probably smart enough to kind of, you know, strategize against someone. Well, like
yeah,
him.
I mean, the strategy. Oh shit. So, still see me?
Yeah.
Okay, I lost my screen. There you go. We're back. And that's a valid point. I think he's going to have to weather an early storm if Amosov comes out. But as the fight proceeds, if Amosov tires, Lima is experienced enough and obviously crafty enough, especially with his leg kicks and stuff. He might actually take away Amosov's ability to shoot that takedown much earlier in the fight than most people probably think could happen. So yeah. I mean, literally we've seen it in the last, you know, several months. It can literally take one kick.
And, yeah.
It can change the entire momentum of the fight for all 25 minutes. So man, great card. I know Bellator is having a small crowd for this one, or at least a distance crowd. So there will be some noise in the arena, which will be nice to see again for a Bellator card. But I mean, those top three fights right there are all bangers. I don't think this is going to be take a bathroom break on any
and
of these fights.
Prelims are always on the Showtime and Bellator YouTube channel. You can just real quick scroll through. You can see those are the other fights we didn't mention. And then the prelims, notable names like Taiwan Claxton, who's ranked number 9 in the featherweight division. Nick Newell, who's a local favorite up in the Northeast here. And a bunch of other great fights. That Amanda Bell's fun to watch. So if you're a Bellator fan, definitely your fights get started. I believe the first bell is at 6, as always. So that should be fun.
Yeah, and that'll be on Showtime on Friday night. Main card starts at 9 p.m. Eastern, and then I'm not sure about the kickoff time for the prelims, but those will either be on the Bellator app or you Bellator.
I just said channel. 6 o'clock, but.
We got time change here. 6 o'clock is my main card time. So the prelims start at 6. So we got 3 hours of prelims, and then the main card is 9 o'clock your time. So that makes sense. Now that brings us to, in theory, the main event of the week. I will be traveling on Thursday night, heading to Arizona for UFC 263, Adesanya versus Vettori, rematch, few years in the making. Oh man,
It's going to be a long night.
Going to be a long night. Right now, 14 fights scheduled with 3 5 rounders. Main card looks – can't complain about the main card. Really can't complain about the card in general. But main card kicks off with Jamal Hill.
I have to write down my picks because I got to submit them to another site.
Jamal Hill and Paul Craig. That kicks off the main card. Hill comes in. Despite the UFC wanting to call him 7-0, Tapology has him at 8-0. So we'll go with Tapology. They also have Paul Craig short a win also. So maybe we're just evening it across the board. But I'm going to go with Jamal Hill in this fight. I know Paul Craig is coming off a win over Shogun Hua finish after previously having a draw with Hua a year or so prior to that fight. Craig can be exciting, but I haven't been overly impressed with him. I know he basically saved his career a couple years back by pulling a triangle off with 1 second left in a fight. That would have led to a 4-fight losing streak and probably would have been the end of his career, but he has rebounded. But Hill's been undefeated and pretty much mopping the floor with everybody he's going with. I'm going to go with Hill. What do we got? 3-round fight here. Let's say I'm going to go a 2nd-round knockout win for Jamal Hill.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think Jamal Hill picks up a win. He did. The last interview I was allowed to transcribe over at MMAnews.com, James Lynch did the interview with him for us over there, and I can see that he's got his eye on the prize. I just think his head is in all the right places as far as like where he's at in his career right now. So I'm with you on that one. I think Jamal Hill can pull it off.
The next fight gives us one of the legends of MMA who did not win a UFC title, Damian Maia versus Bilal Muhammad, who's being rewarded with one of the most dangerous grapplers of all time after Leon Edwards decided to try to poke his brain through his eye. So not exactly the reward that I would be looking forward to if I was Bilal, but nonetheless, it's a main card pay-per-view fight against a known opponent. Whew. With that said, I think this is a really fun fight. I mean, we all know Maia, you know, K1 Maia has been around, but I don't think he's necessarily going to be used in this fight. I think for Maia to win this, it's going to have to be drag the dude down and
What else is he going to do?
Well, I mean, we've seen him outstrike a couple of these guys. I mean, he did outstrike friggin' Ben Askren.
I mean, well, so did Jake Paul, so let's not even...
Hey, okay. Well, yeah, I know. That's why I mentioned K1 Maia, because he has had some fights where his stand-up has actually looked pretty dang good.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's not his route for victory on this fight.
No, he's been adamant about making himself. He wants to leave. He's not trying to win titles anymore. He's not trying to, you know, he wants to be the new age jiu-jitsu guy that walks away from MMA as the guy that like successfully used Brazilian jiu-jitsu in the in mixed martial arts. So no secret where I'm going with my pick.
I'm going to go with Maia. I would love to see him get a submission. I think this is only the second time I've been able to see him fight in person, and he took a loss in the first fight I was at for UFC 1. Well, it was Sonnen Silva 2, so it's been a damn while, 148. I'd love to see Maia pick up a big submission win here. Like you said, I don't think title shots are something that's probably long way down the line, but a chance to make some money and put up a few more highlight reel wins before he walks into the sunset would be pretty cool.
Yeah, and that's no disrespect to Bilal Muhammad, because I actually really like Bilal Muhammad. Any other fight, I usually pick Bilal Muhammad. I actually had him picked in the Edwards fight, like you said, and I mean that's a weird way to move advance. Which is the next fight we're going to be talking about. I had him picked to win that fight because I'm a Muhammad fan, but I'm also, you know, I'm a fan of Maia. And again, like just looking at the dynamics of both men, I mean, somebody as good as Maia is at what he does, I feel like he'll find a way to just kind of bait Muhammad into what he wants to do. I mean, that's pretty much what Maia has done with most of his wins. And I think even though he's one of those guys like Krokop's left high kick back in the day, you know it's coming, but when it comes, you really can't stop it. So,
yeah, I mean, in a sense, though, this is also a good chance for Muhammad to really, because if he's able to survive what Maya brings to the table, I mean, really the way for him to win this fight is probably ground and pound by avoiding some submissions and hurting Maya on the ground.
Yeah.
That's when we've seen Maya kind of fold, is when
he's
able to really get a couple
that?
Shots.
I think Woodley did that. I forget the other gentleman. There's a couple of guys that did that. Wasn't a very fun fight, you know, because they were avoiding dangerous position. But, you know, if he fights smart like these other fighters did that were able to get past Maya, you know, he's going to – Muhammad could definitely pull this off. And then again, Muhammad's a great fighter. I just see, Damian Maya, you know, imposing his, snake game.
Stylistically, I think it's easier for Maya to win this fight by submission than it will be for Muhammad to finish off Maya.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where I'm going. So then that brings us to Leon Edwards, who we mentioned earlier, who's got rewarded for the eye gouge in his last fight. And he is rewarded by a big payday fight, five round, first time in UFC history, a non-main event, non-title fight, five round fight versus Nate Diaz. With that said about Edwards and picking Muhammad over him in the previous fight, I think Leon Edwards wins this fight 50-45. Obviously everybody loves Nate Diaz. We've all loved him for almost 20 years, it seems like now, but I just don't know where I don't see the killer fighter that we used to see in the past. Maybe it's that the competition now is just way too stiff for him to be able to do it. But I think Leon Edwards right now, especially right now in their careers, is leaps and bounds ahead of Nate Diaz. And him knowing that basically all the cards are on the table for a title fight with a win right here, I think Edwards overwhelms Diaz. I don't know how he does it, but I think he ends up basically just sweeping the cards across the board.
Yeah, listen, I hope Nate Diaz wins. I'm going to say that right off the bat. I want him to win. Nate and Nick Diaz are the modern day samurai that, you know, because they're always calling for pride rules. Anybody that wants pride rules is always going to be okay in my book. They're fun, knows how to sell fights, trending on everything. You know, they got great fan bases. They always look to stick it to the man. You know, they're anti-hero, whatever you want to call them. But, I mean, the fact of the matter is he cuts very easy. We saw with the BMF thing, you know, that was a sad ending for something with such a title, you know, over it, because to have fights over a technicality like the cuts, and I mean, he gets cut very easy. So unless he pulls off one of his submissions out of the blue, I can see maybe in the later rounds, or because he does take some time to get started too. We've seen that. And somebody like Edwards is probably going to try to take it to him early to get an early finish. But if he doesn't, I see a cut happening. Or like you said, maybe he just grinds out a decision victory. But I see it ending either decision or TKO for Edwards. But I'm going to be real happy if Nate Diaz does win, though.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's pretty much the sentiment across the board. I got to see.
Might even put money on him.
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, can you backtrack to the odds? What were the odds on this fight? I think Edwards was a huge favorite, right? Yeah, Edwards minus 500 to Nate
plus
Diaz.
+355.
So yeah. $100 bet on Nate Diaz would bring in $355, which is obviously a nice little payday if you were to pull that upset off. So that's the third fight. That's the first of the three five-round fights. The second one, a rematch from arguably fight of the year, Deiveson Figueiredo versus Brandon Moreno.
This is the main event for me.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard for me to say that since I've spent so much damn time here over the years talking about how I didn't have much love for this weight division, but these are the two guys that I also said have pretty, and along with Horiguchi, pretty much brought me back to, or brought me into this weight class, and showed me some star power that I know Mighty Mouse had, but just it was a different era almost. With all that being said, their first fight ended in a draw. There was a point taken away from Figueiredo for a poke in the eye. No, maybe it was low blow. I honestly can't remember. I just watched the fight the other day, and I can't remember what foul it was. But anyways, a point was taken away by Figueiredo. I think this time around, this is probably not going to make you happy, Ed, but I think Figueiredo finishes this fight with a knockout fairly early. I think he lands something big, hard, and heavy on Moreno and is able to finish him in the second round. Not necessarily how I want the fight to go, because I think Moreno winning, especially in Phoenix or in Glendale, with the likely. I mean, when I saw Kane fight there, the crowd was probably 60% Hispanic. So I imagine that it's going to be something similar to that, which is always exciting when things go the crowd's way. But I just think Figueiredo, I think he pulls this off. I think Moreno might have, in a sense, peaked a little bit in that last title fight. Not saying he will never be a champion, but when it comes to fighting Davison, I think that he may have pushed his luck to the end. I think Figueiredo catches something and is able to finish Moreno before the third round.
100% disagree with you. I'm all Brandon Moreno. I think he gets if he doesn't get a decision, I feel like he can probably maybe outstrike or exhaust Figueiredo into some type of, more likely a TKO than a submission. But I also have to say, if we lose a fight, this might be the one that we lose because of Figueiredo's history of, making the flyweight. He's the champion, and I know he's done it enough times. But, you know, after the last fight, it came out that he was like he had some sort of illness. It seems like there's always something going on with him, his recent fights. So I'm just kind of like, if we lose one, this is going to be first. Usually when we lose one, it's one that hurts. And this one, to me, this is the one that's got the dark cloud over it. If we lose it, I hope it doesn't happen, because this is the fight I've wanted to see since they last fought. In my opinion, it should be headlining. I know we're going to do picks for the next fight. I really don't care about the next fight. I have a pick. I'm going to say it when we do it, but this is the fight for me. Like, bars are open here back in New Jersey. If I go to a bar to watch it, I will probably leave when this fight is over.
Jeez, Mr. Casual Ed over here. No, I think it's the more exciting fight of all of them. Mm-hmm. But I think I think maybe you're playing it a little low on Adesanya, considering what Błachowicz did to him. I do think that Adesanya is still one of the most dynamic, exciting fighters in all of MMA. I think that he has his hands full in this fight. I thought Vettori could have easily got the nod in their first fight. It was a decision win for Adesanya.
Yeah.
With me saying all that I just said, I do believe that Błachowicz laid the groundwork on how to beat Israel Adesanya.
Yeah.
And I think Marvin Vettori is almost a mini Błachowicz when it comes to frame, maybe not necessarily fighting styles, because he doesn't have the hammers in his hands. But I see him knowing what worked for him in the first fight, seeing what worked for Jan in the victory over Adesanya, and I see him trying to implement that plan. I think it's similar to me, somewhat like the Amosov fight with Lima, in that I think he can do it, but can he do it for five rounds without tiring out and then eventually succumbing to a rush by Adesanya? I'm going to pick Vettori. I've said it since the beginning. Adesanya's ground game just scares me. I think when people go to that, I think it opens up the door for a lot. And he showed nothing against Jan. Given Jan probably had 20 pounds on him, maybe more. But I was not impressed with his ability. He never was able to get up. He was never really able to transition. He really just kind of sat there and did his best to try to avoid getting punched. Vittori's been super impressive lately. And I think that this a win for Vettori here sets up a nice trilogy fight that we could see in the very near future. So I'm going to pick Marvin Vettori. I'm going to go with decision, but I don't think it's out of the question that he could win by a submission later in the fight. That's
I wonder what the odds are on that.
Over,
I
mean,
He's the underdog still.
He's the underdog, which he should be, because he did lose the first fight. So I think that that's fair. The odds are a little bit more than I would had. They got Vettori at like plus 225. I would think he'd be more like about plus 180. And I'd have Israel about a minus 200 as opposed to a minus like 300 or so, which they have him now. I think that's a little bit bloated in my opinion. But I'm going to go with the Vettori by decision. And I think I don't know if it'll be the most exciting fight. I think it'll be exciting because you'll be seeing maybe a new champ forming. But the real excitement could be if Vettori starts to get tired. There could be a couple real nail-biting rounds with Adesanya putting it on him, trying to catch up on the scorecard.
Yeah, I disagree. I think Adesanya's definitely the type of fighter that does his homework on, especially if when after picking up a loss. I know as much as he says he ignores, you know, the hate and the trolling and stuff, he does pay attention to the points they're making, and he's probably done something to correct it. I do think moving up in weight was probably a big mistake for him. He's obviously better when he fights at this weight in his weight class. Even Dana White said that after that fight. I think he likely is going to correct or focus on where that loss came from. And having crossed hands with Vettori before, he probably has a better idea on how to face him this time. So I don't think it's going to be fun. Again, I mean, when you're following guys like, Moreno and Figueiredo, you're probably going to have a lot to do to make up for a fun fight. I don't see, I got Adesanya picked to win probably by decision. Just because Vettori is pretty tough dude. So that's where I'm going to leave my pick, and which is good because I have to submit these later tonight.
Well, I mean, you cross the board. We've got a lot of different ones here, so there's going to be some beers owed potentially one direction or another after this fight, after these two events. But
I'm wondering if I'm wondering how I'm going to place my bets. It looks like I got a couple of underdogs picked. I might have to do a little parlay for these two, but we'll see. I mean, I'll figure it out as the odds close up for the weekend.
Man, either way, I think we're in for a super exciting weekend of action. I mean, we can't expect every fight to be a barn burner like
that. Just one thing, Sidi Baca had put this up after we had done our pick for that co-main. He talks about Moreno's boxing as a whole, but Figgy has slightly better stand-up overall. He does have a point there, because that was one of the things that was annoying me about the first fight was Moreno's Moreno has a weird I have to rewatch the fights because I forget what it is. I don't know if it's hands down or reaching out or kind of coming in with this this weird hand guard when he fights. And it's almost to his detriment, because I know it's a bait to draw people into an exchange, but it's a risky bait. And that's a good point that Paul Sidi Baca makes as we were done with that pick. But it's not going to make me pick against him.
No, you're not. I don't think there's anything that was going to make you pick against him. It's crazy to see Figueiredo's 20. I've seen him fight one time in person. He's 20-1, and I was at the one. So I did see him lose to Jushier Formiga. So we will see if he goes 0-2 on my trips to visit watching him fight. That might be the end of watching Figueiredo in person.
For our video watchers, my apologies for my background setup. I'm sorry I'm back in the old kitchen again, but it's hot as balls in New Jersey, and the other room doesn't have the air conditioner in it. This one does. So
awesome. So a couple quick shout outs before we sign out here. Incredible win by Justin Wetzel on Friday night.
Yes, sir.
LFA. One of the most complete MMA performances across the board I have seen this year. So mad props to him getting the finish win over Askar Askar, a UFC signee. So that should be looking really good for Justin Wetzel's immediate future. And we missed giving props to Bobby Nash, who, 3 weeks ago now, picked up a early first round finish of his opponent and moves on to the final of the XFC Grand Prix. So props to those guys. We look forward to talking to them again in the future, and looking forward to them getting the opportunities that they've worked their way to get. Again, fans can always check us out at allaccessmma.com for our video podcast. As far as following us, you can follow me, Matthew Hawkins, on Twitter at MMAHawk21, also on Instagram at MMAHawk21. You can follow the show at Combat Hour on Twitter, Coast to Coast Combat Hour on Instagram. Follow Ed at Carbizol on Twitter and Carbierzol on Instagram and Old Head Carb on Twitch. How's the video game going, Ed?
I haven't been playing. It's too hot in that room. All
right. Well, there it is. Just Jersey. Well, it's going to be, yeah, it's going to be balls hot here pretty soon across the board for both of us. So, Ed, I'll keep you in touch as I travel into the 110 degree weather of the Arizona Valley.
And, stay safe, man. I mean, it's not as bad. The thing is, they say it's not the heat, it's the humidity, and I've that saying has to have originated in this region, because when I'm in your neck of the woods and it's 110 degrees, it sure as hell don't feel like this.
Yeah, no, it's humidity is the bitch. That's why Florida is not necessarily on my on my radar constantly, but anyways, everybody, thank you for listening, and have a great rest of the week, and massive weekend of action to talk next week.
Yep. Enjoy all of the fights. All right. Ed Carbajal for MyMMAnews.com speaking with Lionheart Jillian DeCourcy, who is going to be pretty busy on Friday night with the Phoenix tournament. Jillian, thank you so much for taking the time to do this, especially on the week of.
No problem. Thank you for having me on.
So one of the things I have to say, I mean, I think folks should know, is just like your interactions with fans on social media, just like overall with the sport is one thing that, so folks that aren't following you should definitely give you a follow on your social media account on Twitter, especially because I know you're really active on there. I mean, you drop a lot of knowledge just about when fights are happening. You're usually watching along with a lot of folks too, so. I mean, you have a lot of support from doing that interaction, and I know Invicta just announced, was it yesterday or the day before, that they're going to let fans vote on their.
Yeah. So I'm wondering.
So do you think all that this is going to kind of pay off in the results of the voting, or?
I mean, I don't really know how I feel about that. Honestly, it's like mixed. Like in one sense, I'm like, it's definitely pretty cool because it gets more, fan interaction. It gets people like talking about it, like into it. But then the other side of it, it becomes like that side of it where it's like a popularity contest. And I'm like, that just brings you back to like high school days. And it's like, all right, does it really make sense for like making good fights, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. But I mean, you're going to be fighting different people, if it works out the way that every fighter probably wants it to, right. But you actually have experience with a couple of the people, other women on the tournament. So, I mean, do you think that, I know the press release said that Delboni was a favorite. I saw you just tweeted something that you just met her a little while ago.
Yeah. Last night when we arrived, I saw her in the elevator. She's cool people.
But I mean, I know you fought Van Zandt, and I think you fought Mahalik too before.
Yep. Now I fought I fought Katie Perez as well, and I fought Marissa as well.
So, I mean, I thought that was weird that they have a favorite picked out, but I'm like, well, she's already experienced a lot of the fighters. So, I mean, and do you think that gives you an edge for what's coming up?
I think it does, because I have wins against all of them. So just like from the confidence perspective, it's like, okay, I know, obviously, it's been, some of them, it's been a few years since we fought. So like myself, like everyone's going to improve. Mm-hmm. But you kind of know their style, right? You know what it feels like to be in the cage with that person. Mm-hmm. So I think that in that side of it helps. But I also understand why they have Delboni as a favorite. She just fought for the title. Mm-hmm. She did well in that fight. The results were what the results were. So, I kind of understand why things are going in that direction.
Mm. By the way, excuse me if I'm drinking I usually have, I'm drinking, that's seltzer water, but I'm usually in a in my room where I have set up to do podcasts and stuff, but I'm in Jersey and it's super hot right now, so I have to go in the room with the air conditioning.
Yeah, go for it.
But anyway, back to you. So the you knew about this for a while. I know you were kind of keeping it lid on it because you couldn't say anything until they announced it.
Yeah, I follow rules, unlike some people in the tournament.
Oh, did somebody else put it out before? I didn't.
Badly, yes.
Okay. All right. I didn't know that. I mean, it must be somebody I'm not following yet. But
yeah,
and
well, not only did they out that they were in the tournament and it was happening before it was supposed to be announced, they were calling out people that were in the tournament that were following rules.
Wow. Okay.
we'll leave that at that.
Yeah, no, definitely. But that's funny because I mean you were so good about keeping it under wraps, and you know, I was just like, all right, well, I was like, I'll ask you when you tell me, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But
I've been with Invicta for a while, and like mm-hmm. I respect that side of it, that hey, you know what, when they let us know things, they tell us, like, hey, you know what, just don't announce it until we let you know. So I try and, you know, be respectful and you know, follow the rules.
Yeah. Yeah. You should. So that's good. But when you did find out, it looks like you had quite enough. I mean, you had some time to get ready for something like this. I don't know if outside of like maybe grappling tour, have you ever done a tournament like this before? And if so, like, how do you prepare for it?
Never MMA tournaments. I've done, you know, lots of grappling tournaments. I mean, as far as preparation goes, my last fight was a title fight at 115. So, we went, it was like how Cage Fury does it is like the four rounds and if you need a fifth. So we mm-hmm. I did four straight rounds, like hard rounds. So mm-hmm. I think that was like a big prep for it because that was just in December. As far as training goes, I didn't train too differently. I just pushed the cardio a little bit more, maybe did more rounds. A couple times with sparring, I did gaps in between my rounds to feel that kind of like cool down and then pick it back up. But just really pushed the pace.
I mean, it's funny you're talking about the last fight from December. I actually rewatched it this morning knowing that we were going to talk today. And I mean, it doesn't feel that long ago. So one of the questions I had were just like, how did you feel, you know, coming from that fight, getting ready for this one? But I mean, it is some time past. So I would imagine you're fully recovered and ready to go.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it definitely, you know, took me a little bit to recover from that one because we went at it for four rounds. But, you know, after like a month, I was like pretty much back to full training. So.
And like, you know, when you have a fight that set up, because I know you fought on short notice, you fought on, you know, you're used to fighting an announcement to fight one opponent, and you have several here that you don't know who it's going to be, you know, obviously until it could change up, I mean, depending on who wins and how right. things move along. So, like, I'm just wondering, like, does that add any, I mean, again, you fought some of the other fighters on the card already, but, like, how do you get ready for something like that? Like, I mean, how do you mentally look ahead, or do you just try to be in the moment as much as you can?
So the mental focus that I did for this one, as far as like opponents and things like that, is mm-hmm. obviously, you know, you're gonna watch film on everybody that's in the tournament, so you have an idea. But mainly it was just focusing on like what I was going to do, this is what my game plan needs to be, regardless of who the opponent is and, mm-hmm. you know, how to execute that regardless of what their style is.
It's funny. You just reminded me, I remember one time, this was a long time ago, back when Pride was still around, they interviewed, Wanderlei Silva about like fight preparation, and they asked him about, you know, whether or not he watches tape on his opponents and things like that. And he said, no, I just train to be ready to, you know, that way I can just react when the fight happens.
Right.
And know that I have all my tools and cardio ready. Is that pretty much your point of view for the 11th?
Absolutely. You know, and I kind of like you know, a little bit of the side of it of not really knowing maybe who you're fighting, because it takes away the aspect of like overthinking of what that person might do, or they do this, they do that. Well, that's not in play here. It's well, what am I gonna do?
Yeah, what do you think is I mean, in my opinion, as an out of shape old, you know, overweight guy, But I mean, you know, from what I know and you know, other fighters I've talked to, I would imagine for this type of scenario, cardio would be the biggest focus.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. Because you have to be able to, you know, you only have the first two rounds, you only have 5 minutes to do what you need to do. So, you know, it's going to be fast paced.
I mean, I wonder how, I mean, you'll find out, I guess, on when you fight that night. But I mean, it's just like how much you have to come, because every round is going to be like a first round. So it's like I mean, you have to come out with I mean, it's either excuse my language, but it's either, you know, like balls to the wall or swinging for the fence or whatever, you know, because you want to get a finish as early as you can, obviously, to be fresher and ready for the next one. Is that pretty much what you're expecting from the other opponents?
Yeah, I think it's definitely going to be, and I mean, it's atom weights, right? So atom weight fights have to be more fast-paced anyway. And now with, you know, a short time to get something done, I think it's going to be very fast-paced.
So, I mean, what's your take on people calling favorites and stuff like that? I mean, I feel like something like this, it's hard to choose a favorite in this type of format.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's you know, it's a different type of format, right? And it's literally a one round, 5 minutes. So anything can happen, right? One takedown, right? One small mistake. You know, you get clipped hard, right? Anybody can do that. I don't necessarily think that, you know, skill is going to come into play to some degree. But, you know, the least favorite person can easily beat the favorite in one round, right, in 5 minutes. So I think it's gonna, you know, definitely be interesting how things play out.
Preparing for it during the times that we're in now with the COVID situation, I know some people are opening things up or whatever, depends on where you're at. But for you, I mean, you fought in December, you're fighting now. How difficult has it been to get ready for all these fights during recent, you know, with everything going on? Or like, I know you're in quarantine right now, like how frustrating is it? And just, can you speak on that?
Yep. I mean, this fight, getting ready for it wasn't too much different at all. I'm based in New York, so, you know, we've definitely had the toughest time with things kind of coming back to some level of like normalcy and being able to train and do things. But this fight, things were pretty, you know, pretty much back to par, back to where they needed to be. December, that one was a little bit trickier because we were still, you know, under strict standards and rules that we had to follow as far as the things we could do. But we made it work. We found ways to kind of do it. It was actually interesting. It was like a lot more like one-on-one training instead of like training with like a group of teammates and things like that. This one, like I said, it was pretty much back to normal fight camp. And as far as like being in quarantine, like the week before, it's not, for me, it's not that much of a different, because fight week, I tend to kind of like keep to myself a lot, like, you know, stay in the room, like chill out, you know, go get my supplies, stuff like that. But, you know, I'm not like running around doing all this stuff. So I'm like, it's not that different. I'm okay with it.
So is that, I mean, so now a couple fun questions for you. So with the quarantine and everybody finding something to occupy their minds and stuff like that, and what is your what's your go-to quarantine time passing? Like, I mean, do you binge watch something? You read stuff? Like, what do you get into?
I lay in the bed and sleep.
Hey, that's good too. Especially,
yeah, and like aimlessly scroll my phone.
So, where do you come up with? Because you often tweet out randomly these ideas for OnlyFans, but with something. Like, where do you come up with these remixes of OnlyFans ideas?
Oh, that's just like glimpse into my brain. The random things that happen. I can't think of the, on Instagram, and like, I think she does it on TikTok too. A girl does like a OnlyPans thing. So she does, it's like all little different things, like her cooking, but it's like funny and she makes it like, you know, like jokingly provocative. So that kind of like spun it off a little bit too. Where I was like, this is really funny. let's kind of play off of this a little bit on Twitter.
Yeah, no, because a lot of the ones you put out are pretty funny too. That's why I said I got to ask her about that. But other than that, I mean, I guess, I mean, that's it for me. I think I've got all my questions as far as the tournament is. I mean, it's June 11th on Access TV, and I think it's on YouTube as well, right?
Yes, yeah, they're streaming on YouTube because not everyone has access, especially out in Long Island. I know, you know, a lot of some of the cable providers don't have it. So it works out. So everybody still could watch it.
Yeah, no, I don't have it. That's how I'm watching it. But good luck to you. I mean, I'm looking forward to it. I know you're not going to disappoint. If you have any sponsors or anything, I mean, put your social out there for folks to build up your following, by all means, go right ahead.
Yep. Thank you for having me on the show, by the way. So you can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Lionheart Jill. I want to thank my coaches at Ring Sport Muay Thai and Long Island MMA and my manager, Jason Adams, and all my sponsors that have been kind of with me for years at this point, always supporting me. We got Seek Chick, we got Guard What's Yours, we got Receptra, CBD, we got Fighter Alias, we got Roger Mitterling, we got Donna Moore. I know I am forgetting people, and I apologize, but thank you.
All right, cool. So make sure you tune in Friday, June 11th, 8 p.m. Eastern, on Access TV and YouTube if you don't have access. Lionheart Jill.
I remember somebody, I forgot, Swole House Meals. They are awesome. They're actually fueling me up this week.
All right, cool. All right, well, good luck to you, Jillian.
All right, thank you.
All right. Hey guys, Ed here, East Coast side of the Coast to Coast Combat Hour podcast. If you like what we're doing, make sure you subscribe on YouTube and anywhere you listen to podcasts. Also, if you'd like to help us out and donate, the support links are in any of the podcast descriptions, and then some of the links are also provided on our YouTube channel, The Blog Board Jungle. Thanks again for listening. And if you give us some support, we'll give you a shout on the podcast, maybe bring you on for a UFC pay-per-view breakdown or two. Thanks again.